Turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 15. Psalm 15. This psalm begins with this wonderful question. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Now that's a marvelous question that every believer wants to know. Now that's a wise answer, a question. Here's what he's asking. Lord, who's going to be with you now and then? Who's going to be found in heaven with you? Now, I want you to notice that David didn't ask a man. He doesn't want a man's answer because man give you an answer and it might be the wrong answer. I can't afford to rest my soul on what a man's got to say if it's not consistent with these scriptures. Now there's a lot of folks running around and everybody has got an answer to this question. But here's the funny thing. They're all different answers. Every different denomination has got a different answer. Now somebody's not telling the truth. And I want to know. I want to know. I'm going to stand before God and I know this. It's going to be soon. I don't know. It might be today. It might be in 25 years. I don't know. But I want to know the answer. Now, if somebody is not telling or giving an answer according to these scriptures, then that means that they don't know the answer. Because if God reveals to them the answer to that question, who shall abide in thy tabernacle, in thy holy hill? Then God's revealed it to him. Now the Lord thanked the Father. That time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. The Lord thanked the Father. Father, I'm thankful you did not reveal to those that see themselves as wise in themselves, prudent in themselves. I thank you that you didn't show them. Now I tell you what we do to that prayer. We bow to it. We bow to that. The psalmist question, who? It covers time and eternity. He's asking about the character, and he's asking about those that are going to be found with the Lord, in the Lord, on earth and in eternity. Lord, who? What's the character? Those that shall abide. That's what, who shall abide? Who shall sojourn for a while? Temporarily dwell for a while. That's what abide means. Just for a while. Who shall abide in thy tabernacle? You know the tabernacle in the wilderness. You know that was just temporary till Solomon built the temple. You know the tabernacle, it moved. It was when the pillar of the cloud moved, it moved. How long did they stay in one spot till the pillar moved? Took it down. The priest carried it. They went. Who shall abide for a while in this church on earth? Who shall be there? That's what he's asking. Who's going to be here, Lord? And who shall dwell? That is, remain, continue, established. That's what it means. Who shall abide and who shall dwell in thy holy hill in heaven? Listen to the Psalm 33:4. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Lord, who's going to be with you on the church, you know, abiding in, Lord, and going to dwell with you? Who are they? David asked about the distinguishing marks of God's people. There's a lot of professors. I know that. But evidently, if everybody's got a different answer, and they don't line up with these scriptures right here, then they're tares. Now, I don't know if they're tares or wheat. I mean, it may be evident of being tares. That's why the Lord told in that parable, he said, servants came, you want us to go tear up the tares? He said, no, you leave them alone. You don't know. They may be wheat, and you don't know it. You leave them alone. You just leave them alone. Well, I think we need to straighten them out. No, you don't. I think we need to, we did, no, you leave them alone. In the end time, I'll separate them. I know my own. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Here's he, verse 2, that walketh uprightly, worketh righteousness, and speaketh the truth in his heart. That's who's going to be. He that walks right, works right, and speaketh the truth in his heart. Now, every believer is going to say this one thing right there. In myself, I'm sunk. I don't have a hope. I don't have a prayer. I don't have a chance. He that walketh uprightly, worketh righteousness, speaks the truth in my heart, never even thinks, never even deviates in his thought. A man or woman truly regenerated by the grace of God desires that those things be accomplished in him. That's what Paul says, I know in me, that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. Let me tell you what I really want. I want to walk uprightly before God. I want to. I want to work righteousness. And in word and thought and deed, I never deviate. And I want to speak the truth and speak it in my heart. And I am an utter failure. Oh, but being found in the Lord Jesus Christ, robed in his righteousness with his obedience imputed to me, that God would look upon me in him. And when he looks upon me, he sees him. And this is what he can say concerning his son. This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. And everybody in him, everybody he represents, I'm pleased with his body. Truly, a believer is going to say, Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. The law is going to condemn him. That's what the law is going to do. By the law is the knowledge of sin. That's what the law is going to do. The law doesn't justify anybody. It tells you what you are. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ. We believed in him, admitting that we're not justified by the works of the law. We're justified by his work, his obedience, his righteousness charged to us. I'm telling you, now that's, there's a believer can settle down right there. I'm thinking back on what I just preached. I know just a little bit about there not being any good in me. That is in my flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ alone continually walked perfectly. Without spot, without blemish before God, only of the Lord. Walked without guile, without hypocrisy. The Lord asked the Jews one day, He said, which of you convinceth me? Which of you can bring forth one proof that I have ever sinned? Which of you convinceth me of sin? The Scripture says, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Which of you can convince me of sin? Which of you can prove anything? When the Father has said, this is my beloved Son whom I'm well pleased. The Lord alone walked perfectly. The Lord alone worked righteousness. His work was to do justice. My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me. I do always those things that please Him. Thirdly, Christ alone continually spoke the truth in His heart. Brother Henry said this, He's not only the true God and true man, but He's truth itself, the sum and substance of all the truths of the gospel. You know how easily I can say one thing to somebody and think another. I can think something else and you don't know it. Only of the Lord can it be said, He speaketh the truth in His heart. Look at verse 3 and 4. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. Now, who's going to be found in heaven? Well, in 3 and 4, it says that the ones that's not a talebearer, he that backbiteth not with his tongue, that doesn't slander or lay a false charge with his mouth at you. One that doesn't think or do anything hurtful or unkind to somebody else. Oh, we're getting deeper and deeper. One that never receives, one that never supports, one that never sustains a reproach, a scorn, or a disgraceful thing said or insinuated about somebody else. Guilty, guilty, guilty. The one that's going to be found in heaven possesses such a character as to never, never show any type of respect to anyone that sees themselves as something. He always totally estimates the character by a right standard. He's never one that has a thought of showing any kind of respect unto men because of their rank. No. He's always the one that honors his people. We said, never takes up a reproach, verse 3, against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is condemned, honors them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and doesn't change at all. What do you mean there? One that has made a promise and has entered into a contract, and if he sees it's going to turn out contrary to what he thought his expectations to be, to his own disadvantage, he still adheres to the engagement. You know, I tell you what, we'll enter into an agreement with somebody, but if it goes south, and it's going to cost us everything maybe, which one of us would not figure out a way to get out of it? We're going to crawfish on that thing. I don't know if you know what that means. Crawfishing, that means backing up. But you know what a crawfish is, they swim backwards with their tails. Which of us is not going to crawfish? The scripture sets forth the one that's going to be found in heaven, that is one that sweareth to his own hurt. I want you to hold your place right there. Turn to Genesis 43. Genesis 43, that'll swear to his own hurt. I could not think of a better scripture than this one. Here's a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's about Judah. Judah. And he's gonna have to go before Joseph. Remember, Judah and the other boys had sold Joseph into, you know, slavery. What they did, sold it to a band of, and the Lord put Joseph over in Egypt. Joseph now second in command. He'd got everything under Pharaoh, and he's got the one that's got control of the corn, and you know, here comes Israel's boys. And here's Judah and Israel. The daddy's got one boy left at home. It's Benjamin. That's his youngest. And Joseph, he knows who they are. They don't know who he is. And he told them, he said, how's your dad doing? He's doing pretty good. He said, you got any other brothers besides you guys? And they said, yeah, we got one boy. Benjamin, youngest. And Joseph says to those that don't recognize him, he said, you go get him. You bring him to me. Judah tells him, he said, oh, listen, you don't understand. He said, I just don't think my dad will do that. He said, we had another brother that, we lost. And about killed my dad. And this is the youngest, you know, and if I go back and get the youngest one and take him, he said, I just don't think that my dad's going to be able to handle it. I just don't think he will. And Joseph tells him, he said, if you don't bring that boy back here, he said, then don't show up. And Joseph's got all the food. Just don't show up. Well, Judah goes back. He's going to have to talk to Israel, his daddy. He said, Dad, we're going to have to bring Benjamin with us. Oh, I just don't know. Dad, if we don't go back with Benjamin, he's not even going to receive us. He's not even going to see us. We're going to starve. And here's what Judah said to his dad, Israel. Genesis 43, verse 8 and 9. Judah said unto Israel, his father, send the lad with me, and we'll arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou, and also our little ones. For I will be surety for him. Of my hand shalt thou require him, if I bring him not unto thee, and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever. You know, whenever the one that's going to be found in heaven, back in Psalm 15, only of him swore to his own hurt, I will be surety for those that you've given me. if I don't bring them to you. Redeemed, regenerated, washed white in my blood. If I don't present them to you, I'll bear the guilt of that forever. And the Father trusted him. Trusted him. He alone swore to his own hurt. I'll bear the brunt. I'll lay down my life for the sheep. And I will save them. And the Father sent him. Who's going to be found in heaven? All that's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. The one that changeth not. Never changes. I'm the Lord. I change not. Malachi 3:6. Therefore, you sons of Jacob, you supplanters, you hucksters, you shysters, you inconsistent one, therefore, you sons of Jacob, you that I love, are not consumed. And then lastly, verse 5, he that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. One that does not put out his money to usury. Now, let me say this. There's nothing wrong with lawful usury, making some interest on money. The Lord used that as an example one time in a parable in Matthew 25. But that's not what it's talking about. Who's going to be found in heaven? Those that doesn't put out his money to usury. Well, if that's all it takes, well, I ain't going to put no more money in the bank. I can tell you right now. I'm not going to make any money on my money, because if I don't make any money, if I don't make any interest, then I'll go to heaven. He that putteth not out his money. Now, the key to that is his money. There it is. Concerning a man putting out his money. You know, let me just quote this scripture in closing, and this is all going to make sense. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, nothing to buy with, nothing to bargain with, come ye buy and eat, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. You that don't have anything to bargain with, you come. But now hold it. He that putteth not out his own money, spiritually. You that are not putting out with your own spiritual investment, your own will, your own works, your own decisions. He that putteth not out his money. No, I let me buy by faith. Because I don't have anything to buy with. I don't have anything to bargain. What am I going to bargain with God with? May I be found looking to him. The man that's going to be found in heaven is the man that comes by faith. That's what he's saying. He that putteth not out his money to usury. Let me tell you what usury is in closing. It means that I put money in the bank or stock market or something like that, and I got a return on my investment. I gave you something, and I am giving something back because I earned it, because I was shrewd. Because I bought Walmart, you know, back in the 60s. Because I had that ability to be able to watch the market, usury. And I made, you that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things doeth. He that doesn't take reward against the innocent, that right there, he that can't be bribed taketh reward against the, that's what that word reward means. He that cannot be bribed. You remember Eli had a couple of boys, Hophni and Phinehas. They were priests. And they took reward, unlawful reward. They could be bribed. A believer is one who looks to the Lord Jesus Christ and says this, though he slay me, I'm going to trust him. I'm going to rest in him. Who shall be found in heaven? I can tell you who it is. All that's found in him. Lord, bless the word to our heart. For Christ's sake, amen.